Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our Old Testament reading from the book of Jeremiah, the 26th chapter. In 2007, a Lutheran pastor in Germany was convicted and received a one-year prison sentence for the crime of Volksverhetzung. Volksverhetzung. Volkswagen, if you can hear the word Volks in there, people. Okay. The English translation of that word is incitement of the masses or instigation of the people. In essence, it is a crime of disturbing the peace. Now, Pastor Lehrer's crime, Johannes Lehrer, was this. He compared the annual murder of 150,000 unborn babies through abortion in Germany to the thousands of Jews killed at Auschwitz. In the eyes of the state, that made Pastor Lehrer a Holocaust denier and an anti-Semite. Since by equating abortion to the Holocaust, since abortion isn't a crime, that must mean the Holocaust wasn't a crime, or maybe never happened. So he was then labeled a disturber of the people and received a one-year sentence without possibility of parole during that year. Now, Pastor Lehrer spoke the truth about abortion. It is the Holocaust of our age, but it was a truth that the German government didn't want to hear. And so they made trouble for Pastor Lehrer. But as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. The truth has always had a way of disturbing the peace. For example, King Ahab called Elijah the troubler of Israel because Elijah was preaching against Ahab's sins. And Jesus, after saving people from demonic possession, was accused of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul. What does Beelzebul mean? It means Lord of the Flies. Where do you find flies? In dung heaps. And who is the Lord of the dung heap? The devil. People don't like it when the status quo is disturbed, when their sins are exposed to the light of God's holy word, when their self-righteousness or laziness is crushed by God's judgment. So rather than repent, they attack and condemn the representatives of God, whether it's God's church or God's spokesman. Jeremiah was one of those representatives of God, a true prophet called by the Lord to preach his word to Jerusalem and Judea. Now, it wasn't an easy word for Jeremiah to preach, for the people had embraced greed and idolatry, and God was about to judge them. The word that Jeremiah was called to preach wasn't then a word that would make him likable or respected. Instead, it was a word that would bring him disgrace and even the threat of imprisonment. Yet Jeremiah spoke that word faithfully, even to the point of being called a traitor and threatened with death. The question is, though, why? Why would Jeremiah do this? Why would he tell the people, why not tell the people what they wanted to hear rather than what God said he should speak? Why not have the king's favor? By telling the king what the king wanted to hear and have a comfortable life. Why be faithful when there are so many earthly rewards for unfaithfulness? Because Jeremiah loved the people of Jerusalem. God's wrath was waxing hot against the sinful people. They had become satisfied in their sinful ways. But neither Jeremiah nor the Lord want to see God's wrath visited on anyone. God doesn't want to see people suffer the consequences for their sins. But God's wrath does not go away until the people hear and repent. Jeremiah loves this people, and he longs to see repentance. So he does his job at great risk to his own life and welfare. Well, in this world that loves sin and loves the status quo, the life and call of Jeremiah teaches us this. If a prophet doesn't neglect his own welfare to disturb the peace of sin and preach God's word fully and truthfully, then he isn't doing his job. He doesn't love God or his people. But as we see, Jesus fully loves God and God's people. Now, in our text, Jeremiah does as the Lord commands. And this is the response. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die." I don't think they put much money in the offering plate that day. That's the reaction of the people to the words of Jeremiah. That's how they responded to the truth that he had spoken. The thing is, they knew that he had prophesied from the Lord. They knew he was a legitimate prophet of God. And they knew about the destruction of Shiloh. Shiloh was the initial high holy place of the Israelites until God destroyed it because of the people's unfaithfulness. And now that same fate was to be visited upon Jerusalem, and the people hated to hear what Jeremiah had to say. Well, that seems to be the reaction to God's word in our day and age as well. Just like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. If people hear something that they don't like, well, then they quit going to church, or they find another church, or they reject God and deny the faith altogether, never once taking into consideration that God is trying to save them from their sins. God is trying to save them from the lies of Satan. He does that by troubling the status quo with his saving word. But far from hating Jeremiah, far from hating the people, Jeremiah loves them. And he says to them, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and this city all the words you have heard. Now therefore mend your ways and your deeds, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he has pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you." So as a faithful servant of God, Jeremiah set aside his own security and his own welfare, his own pride, because Jeremiah wasn't the important thing. The people of God were the important thing. God longs for his people. He wants them to repent so he can have mercy on them. And that's what Jeremiah did. He called them to repent, and the people hate him for it. But he's innocent of any crimes against God. He has done his task. So he puts himself in their hands and says, "Do whatever you want to me," because he knows that he is in far better hands, the hands of the Lord. Throughout Holy Scripture, when God speaks a word of wrath and condemnation through his prophets or his apostles, it isn't for the purpose of wrath and condemnation. It's for the purpose of salvation, to call people to turn from their sins and turn to him for grace and mercy. And as we see in our gospel reading, Jesus, he is committed to the welfare of God's people. He is committed all, he is 100% all in. And he won't be deterred from his task, not even by those who say that he is in league with Satan. Jesus knows the reputation that Jerusalem has for killing the prophets that God has sent to it. Later in Luke's gospel, Jesus will say, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Yet Jesus goes to Jerusalem knowing his fate. He goes to Jerusalem knowing that he is going to die because he is going there to disturb the peace of sin. He must go and preach. He must go and teach. But he also go to suffer and die. Because Jesus has bound himself to the people that he created and the people that he loves. He knows what his fate in Jerusalem means. It means the cross. That he would be condemned and crucified. Yet this is God's love in action. Jesus sets aside his own welfare and safety to be the Savior that Jerusalem needs, to be the Savior that we all need. You see, without Jesus, all we would have from God is a word of condemnation. There would be no mercy. Because that's what Jesus won on the cross. He won mercy. Because on the cross, God put his word of condemnation on Jesus. On the cross, Jesus drank the entire cup of God's wrath against all of sinful humanity. Jesus drank every last drop as our substitute in exchange for all of us, so that in Christ God may speak a word of grace and mercy, that sins are forgiven, and that we have peace with God. Now, peace with the world and peace with your own sinful nature might make for a nice life on earth. After all, that kind of peace means you can have all the fun you want on the weekends. That kind of peace allows you to satisfy your selfish desires. That kind of peace allows you to live by your own rules. You don't have to trouble your children to teach them the catechism. You don't have to get up early to go to church. You don't have to make a sacrifice of your time or your treasures. But that kind of peace leads to eternal death. Christ came to disturb that kind of peace, so you could have everlasting peace with God. So as one called to serve in Christ's stead, it's the prophet's job to neglect his own security and safety, his own honor and respect, to proclaim God's word of truth. Not a word that changes with the culture. Not a word that overlooks sin. Not a word that vacillates on moral principles. God does not change, nor does his unchanging word. But also, sin does not change either. It remains steadfast rebellion against God. It continues to visit death and destruction upon people. No matter how people try to dumb down or redefine sin, to ignore it, it remains what it is. The thing that kills. The disease that destroys, corrupts, divides, and brings eternal death. Sin would have you believe that it is the prophet who speaks the truth that is the disturber of the peace. But in reality, it is sin that is the disturber of your peace with God. It isn't the prophet of God that's your enemy. It's the sin that's your enemy. It isn't God's word that kills you. It's sin that kills you. It's God's word that gives you life. But sin wants you to believe that the problem is the word of God. That's what sin wants you to believe. Sin wants you to believe that the word of God steals your freedom. The word of God inhibits you from living life as you please. But as Jesus said, the one who sins is a slave of sin. That sort of slavery leads to destruction and death. The word of God disturbs sin's peace by revealing it for what it is, and condemning it for what it is. The word of God kills sin wherever it is found. At the same time, the word of God gives life to you and restores your life with God. That's how God works. He uses his law to reveal sin and drive to repentance in his gospel, to wash away sin. That's why our Lord says to the woman at the end of the gospel reading, "Rather blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed indeed for those who hear the word of God and hold it dear." That's what keep means. It means to treasure, to hold dear, to cherish. Blessed are those because they now live in peace with God. But the word of God must be proclaimed so it can be heard. It must be given so that it can be held dear and treasured. And so God calls his prophets to do just that. Even if it means they'll be disturbers of earthly human peace. Well, we all do love the status quo. No one appreciates a boat rocker. No one appreciates a disturber of the peace. People want to be left alone in their sins. But God is love. And he can't look the other way. He can't leave you alone in your sinful condition. He must act to to save you. God isn't the prince of the status quo. The devil is the prince of the status quo. God sends his church and her pastors into the world to shake things up, to awaken consciences to sin and death, so that they may repent and live. Yet all human prophets are just that. They're human beings. They are sinners with human flesh and human weaknesses. There is no prophet on earth who really puts himself completely on the line for his people. Jeremiah was a whiner. He lamented over his condition. And Elijah? Well, Elijah ran from his post. But Jesus is the perfect prophet. He left the peace and security, the glory and honor of heaven, to disturb this world of sin, so that he may bring peace with God and restore the creation he loves. Jesus had nothing but love in his heart and on his mind when he gave all he had for you. When he gave all he had to give you the peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise.